Transmitiendo desde Atlanta, Georgia, esto es Rock Radio and More.
Hey everybody, Rachel Ray here. Nothing brings a bigger smile to my face than cooking up a big meal for the whole family and lots of friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in our country who struggle with hunger. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids. But they can't do it without your help. Support Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Is the whole problem. Are we going to allow this guy to be heard by anyone who can turn a dial?
The Imary Show.
And now, our feature presentation.
Hi, this is Dr. Mayor Carr reminding everybody to stay healthy by eating well, moving well, getting adjusted, and keep rocking with Rock Radio and More 24/7.
Good evening, everybody. It is I, the Bishop of Rock and Roll, Will Imerich, and you're listening to the Imerich Show. But right now, something crazy just happened. Right out of nowhere, pure teleportation. Poof! We have someone here. You may speak.
Oh, am I good now?
Yes. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Christina has made it to the building. Yay!
Yeah.
Hello, Christina.
Hi.
Hi, Christina.
And we on this hour, we also have another very, very major special guest, straight from the Hollywood Ghost Hunters. We have Rick McCollum. Now, for you guys who are not in the know, this is not the Rick McCollum who is the producer of Star Wars trilogy. Okay. I accidentally, when I sent Christina the information, I sent her the wrong IMDb first, and then someone else like saw it on my computer at work and freaked out. They're like, "Oh my God, it's Star Wars!" And I'm like, "No."
You wouldn't be the first one to have done that. Well, trust me.
But if you guys don't know, this is he's a paranormal investigator, sir. He's from our little circle of weirdos. But he is also big in special effects and stunts, better said, in major Hollywood films. But the funny thing about it is the person, the film that's on his credit that I love the most is Baywatch Nights.
Love Baywatch Nights.
I mean, I used to be addicted to that show in my younger years because it was like, of course, Baywatch. All right. And no, it's not David the David Hasselhoff. It was watching the girls running in slow motion on the beach stuff. But then they had paranormal stuff on the stories. And that's something a lot of people
actually
forget.
I was one of the first people to die on Baywatch Nights.
Oh, dude. Oh, that's awesome. And he's also got Naked Gun, 33 and a third. And but, of course, everyone, Hatchet, Victor Crowley, modern horror, incredible stuff. But we have him here.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough to be in all four of them. So,
I loved Hatchet.
Yeah, it's very good. You know, Adam Green, the director.
Yep.
You know, he's so underappreciated as a director. I mean, he should be doing big money. I mean, really big movies because he can really get people to work for him. And that's the key to directing. I mean, I'll tell you a little story. I don't know if you know this or not, but Victor Crowley just came out. That's part four.
Yeah.
And what we did is they had a retrospective down at the Egyptian Theater in Hollywood. And the whole idea was that it was the 10th anniversary of the first Hatchet. And for the fans, it was free. They were going to come in and they were going to get to see the movie again at the theater. And just before the thing started, Adam comes out and he goes, "Oh, by the way," he says, "I hate to say this, but you're not going to get to see Hatchet tonight." And everybody's like, "What?" And he says, "Because we actually made Victor Crowley, which is the fourth installment, and you're going to see it tonight."
Oh, cool.
So, I mean, he surprised all of these people. And the thing that's so impressive, and this is what's so impressive about Adam, If you know anything about Hollywood, nobody in Hollywood can keep their mouth shut about anything.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, but, you know, the cast and crew, he said, please don't anybody tell you're working on this movie or anything about it. Just please pretend it doesn't exist till we do our premiere. So for 2 years, all these people, now you know how many people work on a movie. You know, day players are there one day, you know, but just because everybody, you know, it really respects Adam, nobody said a word for 2 years that the movie was already done.
Damn. Man, in my little circle, we can't even keep our mouths shut that there's another Sharknado coming out.
Yeah, well, I can't even keep a secret when I'm the only person. I mean, that's...
You can do it for about a week, and then you're like, you know what, I'm done. Cat's like, out of the bag.
Yeah. And they green light part six, we're like, okay, yeah. I guess because we're all happy we're getting paid, you know?
Well, you know, it's funny. I did a movie with Tara Reid, who was,
yep,
you know, from Sharknado.
Which one did you do with her?
We did a movie called Charlie's Farm in Australia.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. It was pretty good movie, actually.
Yeah, because I see one on your credit that I'm wondering if it was an Asylum movie, Sympathy Said the Shark.
Actually, you know, it's kind of funny you said that. Sympathy Said the Shark was produced by Zach Bagans.
Ah.
It's actually his movie. Devin Lawrence was the director. He's one of the guys that, you know, the directors and stuff on Ghost Adventures. I think he's actually doing another show right now. I think he's doing something, and I'm not sure, Homestead Rescue, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
You know, but Devin's a very talented director. So, you know, him and Zach teamed up for the movie, and I was a stunt coordinator on it.
Nice. See, that I didn't know Zach produced a movie. I knew he produced, but I didn't know he produced
a
full feature. That's cool.
Well, I think, you know, just... not just because he's a friend of mine. Actually, he was the very first person I interviewed for the magazine, you know, Hollywood Ghost Hunters magazine.
Yep.
I don't think people really know Zach.
No, they don't.
You know, Zach is actually a very nice guy, and he's extraordinarily smart. And, you know, people see his see him on Ghost Adventures, you know, and they think that's the totality of the person. You know, but let me tell you something about Zach. Zach, there is no anything growing under his feet. I mean, just a quick story that you guys have heard about the Demon House in Indiana?
Yes.
Yeah, that's Zach called up there. Now, the story, just for your people who are listening, there was this family that lived there, and they thought that everybody, all the family, was possessed, but especially this one young boy. And there were police officers, there were children's services and stuff, and they actually saw the one kid walk backwards up a wall.
Wait.
Now, this is all the people that could get fired for saying this kind of stuff. And they all said, we saw it, you know.
Yeah. They so, saw this kid walk backwards up a freaking wall.
Up a wall, yeah.
Yeah.
So Zach calls up and says, hey, you know, I'd really like to do an episode of Ghost Adventures there. You know, how much would you charge to rent the house? And the owner says, well, I don't know if I'm going to rent it. I'm thinking about selling it. Zach says, how much? The guy goes, well, this much. He goes, why are you the money? So he bought the house.
Oh, wow. You know?
And then he did a documentary about it, and the documentary is supposedly so scary, and what happened there was so scary that he actually bulldozed the house.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's, you know, if you're a paranormal fan, that's a pretty good story.
Yeah, I've heard about that. I always wondered what happened to the documentary, because there's another one, Chad Kalick, a friend of mine. He did Mr. No Face recently, and that, I don't know, it came out for a while. Some people saw it. It was supposed to be, like, really, really undisputable evidence that he recorded in Australia, but then now it's, like, I don't know, it just faded away, and it's kind of sad because I want to see it.
Yep. That can happen sometimes. Things just fall through the cracks. But a lot of times you'll see something come back with a resurgence all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You know, so that may happen for his film, too.
Hopefully.
But, yeah, the other thing about Zach, and I'm not, you know, not trying to, you know, build up Zach. Zach's got more than enough build up for himself. Is that, you know, he's got, you know, the Haunted Museum in Las Vegas now.
Yeah, I heard about that. I've seen it. I've had a friend of mine go visit it, but I'd like to go check it out myself now. Because he's
yeah. Well, I'm not going unless he pays. You know, buys me a ticket. That's the way I thought. I've known that guy for a while. He better let me in free.
My thing is, I want to check it out because of I'm a big Bela Lugosi classic horror fan, and he's got the mirror. And then there was a someone said he made an episode about this, but I don't really get to watch much. But the mirror was also at Bela Lugosi's old house when a murder happened, and the murder happened in that room. And that's one of the reasons I just love to go check it out.
Yeah, that sounds pretty interesting. He's got a lot of good stuff in there, too.
Yeah.
I haven't been there yet, but I know people who tell me, you know, all the time what's in there, and I see it online every now and again.
I want to check it. So. Oh, we lost Jeff. Okay.
We got to get Jeff back.
We'll get him back after the spot. So we're going to, the one thing I wanted to talk about is like some of your, after the next spot, is after some of your paranormal investigations, like the ones you really enjoyed and the ones that left you scratching your head. And on top of it, we want to kind of pick your brain on some stuff that happened at Hale's Bar, because you know, we know you want to go there.
Mm-hmm. And, oh, yeah.
And we want to pick your brain on some of our adventures there, because we've had some crazy stuff happen there. And it'd be kind of cool to have an outside point of view on some of our evidence. I don't know if we have some of the evidence to play, but... at least so you can hear about it.
Yeah, if you just explain it to me, that would be cool. Yeah, and it's not that I want to go to Hale's Bar. I'm going to go to Hale's Bar. That's just the way it is. Jeff and Vicky, make it happen.
Oh, they will. They will. Yeah. We love them to death.
They're freaking awesome.
Oh, yeah. So, guys, again... You're listening to Rick McCollum here on the I'm a Reach show, and Christina is back. She made it. We're also going to do a checkup on her sister, because we all know about it now.
And oh, did you just tell everybody?
No, we didn't tell. I didn't tell everybody what happened.
Okay, you just said
that she's had an emergency.
Okay.
Yeah. And we also have to talk about some other stuff when we get back. I'm looking at here and going, what the heck is this commercial? But we're back. It's the I'm a Reach show on Rock Radio and More. Woohoo!
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
What's up, everybody? We're back. And Christina's freaking out something. Something just happened. She's been listening to EVPs, going over evidence. And
I'm going to need a moment.
Why?
Well, I was actually listening to the wrong file. That's
yes,
why.
I know.
I was like, this is weird.
I told you that wasn't me.
Right?
And that didn't sound like Alejandro. It almost sounded like Chip Coffee.
I wonder if that was the event that we had.
Yeah, because she's like, listen to footsteps. And I'm like, okay. I
was
like,
there was no footsteps.
There's no footsteps. That's definitely not me talking. And that is definitely not Alejandro either. That sounds like Chip Coffee. Hold on.
Well, was Chip Coffee there?
Probably. I don't know. It could have been in that event. That's the funniest thing. Here's a funny little story. For the longest time, I knew of Chip, and we talked, and it wasn't until like about maybe 10 years ago, because I mean, I've been around for a while. I found out he lives like two blocks from me.
Hello.
So when I bump into him at Walmart, it's like, hey! So, you guys, like you said earlier, you're the only team to investigate, or the first team to investigate with the Ghost Adventures crew. Can you, for the people who don't know, give us a breakdown about your team?
Well, there's a bunch of us, but the three main members, I was the founder. Kane Hodder, who plays Jason Voorhees in the Friday the 13th movies, four of them. He also plays Victor Crowley in the Hatchet movies and is played like every other killer known to man. And then there's R.A. Mihailov, who played Leatherface in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3. So, actually, our tagline for our group is, "The dark is afraid of us."
They should be. And then when
somebody asked me at a convention one time, they said, "What's it like ghost hunting with Jason and Leatherface?" I said, "Well, you know, it can be kind of comforting, you know, knowing they're around. But sometimes, you know, you're walking down a really dark place like Waverly, and it dawns on you that Leatherface is on one side of you and Jason's on the other, and that this is probably not going to end well for me."
The only person missing is Robert doing Freddy.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's into ghost hunting.
Well, we almost had him go with us one day at Linda Vista Hospital, but he was still filming Fear Clinic.
Ah.
And then whether he would have gone or not, I don't know. Maybe, you know.
That would have been funny, though. Fun.
Well, Danielle Harris goes ghost hunting with us, too, who's also a scream queen. If you ever saw the, what was it, Halloween?
Yeah.
She actually played the little girl in the clown suit that went after...
Oh.
You know, went after Michael Myers.
We just need to get everyone involved in horror movies just to go do an investigation one day at the same time. See what the ghosts do.
Yeah. It's, well, we got kind of that.
Yeah. Yeah, but let's just stack it all on, and then on top, just for the cherry, we'll put Danny Trejo in there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's funny. Somebody asked me, you know, because I'm like the unknown member of the group. Right, I've done 75 projects, but nobody knows who I am. But it was funny, somebody asked me, they said, "So you know Kane?" I said, "Yeah, I know Kane. You know, we founded the Ghost Hunters together." And they said, "Have you ever done a movie with him?" And I said, "Well, last time I counted, we've done 28 together." It's like, yeah.
So Linda Vista is a cool place, but what is one of your favorite places you ever been to?
Well, Schloss Furnace down in Alabama.
I love that place.
Was really interesting. Mansfield Prison in Ohio. I'm sure you've been there.
Yep.
The Pioneer Saloon had a really interesting thing happen out there. That's outside Las Vegas.
Never been to that one.
Yeah, that's something. I mean, it's an old-time Western saloon out in the middle of nowhere. And it's actually where Clark Gable sat at the bar waiting for them to bring down Carol Lombard's body off the plane crash up on the mountain.
Ooh.
And they've had several people murdered in there. And I had one of the most intense experiences of my life in that place. So, I mean, it was...
Can you talk about it? Or?
Well, sure. It's not going to make me cry or anything.
No, I don't know if it was like something you were holding off for a book or a show or...
Oh, no, no. You know, the only thing that makes me cry is this pretty girl saying, "Oh, you're ugly."
I get that on a regular basis from my co-host. So
Christina.
Will, you're ugly.
No, what happened there is I got invited out to ghost hunt. And when I got there, there were probably six other people and a few of the Pioneer Saloon investigators. Jill Patavese is the one that runs it. We call her Jilly Beans. But she was giving us the tour, and we went into the one side of the saloon, and there were two big round tables. And at one spot on the one round table is where this one guy got shot to death because he was cheating at cards, and he was going to beat up the guy that called him on it, and he brought fists to a gunfight.
Oh, God.
But what happened there is we go in and we sit down, and everybody's got their equipment out. I've got my K2 meter in front of me, and there's REM pods, and there's people filming and all kinds of stuff. Matter of fact, all of this is on video and audio.
Oh, nice.
But You can see it on, I think it says EVPs or something, Rick McCollum EVPs on YouTube. But I go in there and I'm sitting there, and the girl sitting next to me, because the tables were round right in front of her, there was no table for her to set anything on because she was in the little vent. So she stuck her K2 meter in front of me, you know, so she had a place to set it. And Jill starts telling us in the story, and nothing's going off. And all of a sudden, the K2 meters, both of them, go off, all 10 lights, just going. Brrr. So I'm just sitting there looking at them, and everybody's, you know, paying attention. You know, it's not real often that you get that strong of a signal. So we're sitting there, and it goes off after 10 or 15 seconds. And we're still talking, and everybody's, you know, she's still telling us the story and everything else. And I hear, Rick. And I look all around, right? And I look over one of them and I said, "Did you guys hear that?" And they went, "Yeah." I said, "Okay." So a minute later, all the K2 meters go off, all 10 lights. And instantly I got so sick. I mean, I thought I was going to throw up on the table. I mean, instantly from out of nowhere, bam. And I felt like I was on fire. I mean, seriously, I thought that's what it felt like. I mean, I felt like I was going to just incinerate on the spot. So I'm sitting there, and Jill says she sees the K2s going off. She goes, "Oh, look, the spirits must really like you." and I looked over, and I said, "I'm not so sure they do."
Oh, so God.
Right? And there's a girl's voice on the tape goes, "We do."
Oh, man.
Right? So right then you hear, "Rick." Again, with our ears we could hear it. It's also on the tape. And Jill looks at me. She goes, "What's the matter?" And I said, "Touch my forehead." So she reaches over, touch my forehead. She goes, "Oh, my God, you're as cold as a block of ice." I feel like I'm on fire. She says, "I'm a block of ice." And I'm like,
"Oh,
okay,
dude."
But I'm sick. I mean, I think I'm going to pass out. And this never happened to me before, you know. So we're sitting there, and the girl next to me reaches over, puts her hand on my arm, and she goes, "Oh, my God, you're like ice cold." Right? So I got up. I said, "Guys, I got to go outside for a minute," you know, because I was afraid I was going to throw up on the table with all of them sitting there. So I go outside, and as I go by this one girl who's got to be a foot and a half or 2 feet away from me sitting at the table, as I walk by, she goes, "Holy cripes, you can feel them from here." I mean, it was the weirdest thing. So I go outside, and I'm sitting out there for like 10 minutes, and Joe comes out. She goes, "Are you ready? You want to come back in?" I said, "Yeah, let's do it. I'm feeling better." So I walk in the door, and I'm no more like 3 steps in. I feel like I got hit by a tsunami of sickness. I mean, just whap, right? And I just stopped and I just said, "You know what, guys? I don't want to ruin your night." I said, "This is just a little. I'm too sick to, you know, to do this, and I don't want to get sick with you guys around." So I said, "So I'm going to call it a night." And I turn around, and on the tape, you hear a voice say, "Turn Rick back."
Dude. Right?
Which is an EVP. We didn't hear it, you know, with our ears. So I'm standing there. I start to walk away, and I stop, and I turn around. And I'm standing there, and I look, and I say, "Guys, it was really nice to meet you." And I turn around and walk away, and you hear the man's voice go, "Release him."
Dang.
Wow.
So that's pretty bizarre.
Yeah. Now, yeah. See, that definitely trumps the experience I'm about to tell you at Hale's Bar. But how long ago was it? About 2 months ago?
Yeah.
It was about 2 months ago. Christina and I went to investigate Hale's Bar with Jeff and Vicky. And we were in the tunnels by ourselves.
It was just us two.
Yeah. Christina just wanted to go. So
It was getting close to the end of the investigation. It was in the a.m. hour. It was probably 1 or 2. Yeah. Something like that.
And we went down there and... Now, this is an area where Jeff said he's seen a figure come out of the wall that has, like, slitted eyes and stuff like that. And he told me about that, but I've never felt anything negative there before. And only got, like, very, very light EVPs. You know, you can hear people walking around talking and stuff like that. And Christina was running the equipment. And she says she was taking a picture. Now, I don't remember this. Now, here's the funny thing. I don't remember. I got all of this out of watching the video now.
Yeah. See, we had a bunch of stuff set up. Like, I had my melometer set up. we had the Shack hack going, K2. I mean, we had a bunch of stuff laid out around some trigger objects, and there's a table in the middle of like the intersection in these tunnels, and there's some chairs. We're sitting at the table, and I decided, well, I'm gonna. He just turned off the Shack hack.
Yeah, we were running an older Shack hack just to see how it would go there, and we got some stuff, but nothing major. Yeah. We got major stuff in another location, which was freaky as all heck.
Yeah, and I decided that I was gonna start taking some pictures down the hallway because sometimes, you know, you just get something. Well, I turn toward Will, and his back is kind of toward the, because we're in an intersection of this.
It's a T area, like a T intersection in the tunnels of Hale's Bar.
Yeah.
So when you get there, you'll know the location immediately.
Yeah, and
I've seen it on TV several times.
Okay, so yeah, there.
So I got a kind of a good idea what it's like.
Okay, if you see it on TV, it's the area where they have a table in the tunnels. And the tunnel keeps either going straight or goes to the right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I had my back toward the other end of the hall where if you keep going, you leave the tunnels. And I'm facing Will, and I'm going to take a picture down that tunnel, and I yell flash, and I take a picture. Right when I say flash, he was kind of like looking down at the table. When I say flash, he looks up directly into my camera, right into the flash. I'm like, what the freak?
She didn't say freak, by the way.
In my mind.
I kind of deduced that part for myself. But,
and I see the picture. I was like, let me do that again. And you can hear me. You can hear my voice. I kind of chuckled a little. I was like, why are you looking into the camera? And I was like, flash louder so he could hear it. And he did the same exact damn thing.
Actually, in the video, I lean into it even more.
I was just like, oh, son of a bitch.
And she's like, Will's not here.
Yeah, he has left the building. I am by myself. Damn it. And I mean, what do you think?
Well, he checked out for the moment.
Oh, he did. And it was maybe 15 minutes?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, okay, I'll pretend. In my mind, I'm like, okay, I'll pretend everything's cool and blah, blah, blah. So that.
And I get even freakier.
Yeah, he does. Like, so I take a couple of their pictures, and he started acting funny. I was like, I sat back down. I looked down the hallway. So my back is toward Will. And like, he had a flashlight in his hand, and it had like a little string on it, and he was moving it back and forth in front of him, and he was staring at it. The light is on, and I could hear it kind of, or see it flashing kind of behind me. I'm like, can you stop? I'm trying to focus. He's like, so am I. And
which is weird, because I say that, I say, so am I.
The video.
But it ain't my voice.
Yeah, we actually have video, and you could see the light, because the camera was kind of on the table at this point. And finally, I was able to kind of come up with some way of getting him out of there. I was like, hey, why don't we go take a break? Then we can come back.
And I've been like going through this video like crazy and getting more details because I don't remember this at all. This is not in my memory as it happened. It's in my memory as I've seen it. And like when she snaps me out, I under my breath, I hear myself say, WTF. Like, I really snapped out. And I hear myself coming back in, and she's like, let's go outside and take a break or something. And I'm like, I'm just going with the flow. I'm like, yeah, let's go.
I'm at this point, I'm trying to get him out so that I can get Will back. So, and it was funny because before he kind of left, you know, I remember I was sitting there, and I was looking down the hallway, and audibly, I hear in my ear, like, almost like, hey.
Yeah.
And I turned, I was like, did you say something? He's like, no, it wasn't Will. Will didn't say anything. And at that same time, it's like, it felt like we were being bombarded with spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And we're the only two in that hallway.
And when we get out, the funny thing, too, is when we get out, apparently, Jeff and some of the people from his group caught a figure in their what was it, their SLS camera?
Yeah, something like that. Uh-huh. Yeah.
In front of the door. And the more I've been picturing this, hearing the EVPs on the video camera and on my recorder, there's multiple spirits there, and I'm some to this day wondering if that one's keeping watch in case someone comes in.
I don't know.
It is just crazy.
Good question.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I mean, yeah, and it didn't. When we got out there, I think he finally started feeling better and came back and everything, but it didn't stop there.
No.
Because we didn't actually go back and investigate. We kind of hung out and got all of our stuff together and left. We were driving back to the hotel.
Oh, God.
This is like 3:30 in the morning, yeah. Okay? And when I had gotten him out of the tunnels, he threw his shack hack in the back seat and was like done with it, you know?
Yeah, I was already done with the investigation because coming out of it, I felt kind of like how you were talking about, like very
exhausted.
Sick and exhausted, and I felt like I was going to Ralph all over the place.
Yeah, and he had turned it off, okay? Well, it attached to his little shack hack is a speaker, and when the speaker is on, it has a light that illuminates. We're driving back, and I look in the back seat, and I'm like, hey, Will, did you turn that shack hack off, right? He's like, yeah. I'm like, the speaker light is on. the damn thing was on in the freaking car the way back.
It followed us.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, they can do that. There's no doubt about that.
So that was our little experience there. And
that was the second time we went out there.
Yeah. That was the second
time. Can I tell you a story just because you guys are really into this and I want to see what you get out of it.
Okay.
Because it is unquestionably the weirdest freaking thing I've ever seen ghost hunting in my life. And I was a guest of some friends in Scotland. I go to Scotland every year for like a month to go ghost hunting.
Lucky.
And they took me to England to this place called Bolton Abbey. And when we got over there, we met like another six people. So there was probably nine of us all together. And the one guy that I had come with, him and this girl, we go out and we're going through Bolton Abbey. Now, in this one place, it's like a church, but the roof's gone. And it was built like in the 14 or 1500s. And the floor is gone, but it's all grass. And there's a rise, probably a two-foot-high rise, up at the back of the church that was where the altar was. Now, you know, several years ago, they caught people in there doing satanic rituals and witchcraft and all kinds of stuff. So there were two guys who were bouncers from Liverpool that the three of us were, I guess, because we're all big guys. We all kind of started walking around, and the other people were walking around doing their thing. And we came back, and there was a fence around the church. They didn't want you to go in there. And I go back there, and there's five people standing all up on the altar. Well, I was like, you know, this is where you guys had satanic rituals and they have a fence up. You probably shouldn't ought to be in here, right? So I'm hollering at them to get out of there, and none of them are reacting. I mean, not that they're ignoring me. None of them looked over at us hollering. The other two bouncer guys are hollering. No response from any of them. So all of a sudden, we see this bright flash come from outside the abbey, and the abbey's like in the middle of nowhere. So we go around the corner, and all of a sudden, we hear all this noise inside the abbey. So we turn around, we go in there, and what I see is a guy standing, a girl standing in front of him, a girl on her knees after that, a guy on his knees, another guy on his side, and the last guy laying flat on his back, totally knocked out. So there's actually six of them up there, not five. So I'm going, what the hell? And I see these people go over, and they're trying to help the guy that's knocked out. And it's pretty obvious to me that they needed some help in what they were doing, put it that way.
Yeah.
So I told the one bouncer, Peter, I said, Peter, go get him. So Peter jumps over this fence and goes over, throws him over his shoulder like a sack of wheat and runs him back over and throws him over the fence, and me and Justin catch him.
Damn it. Well,
yeah, so we take this guy and, Justin sits down, and Brian, the guy who's out, is leaning up against him. And I'm watching him, and all of a sudden I start seeing him start get these micro, you know, shivers, like going in his arms. And then I notice he starts getting them in his chest and stuff. And I'm thinking, okay, because I do like a lot of safety work on movies like water safety and stuff like that. So I'm watching him. I thought, okay, there's one of two things happening here. Either he's being attached or he's going into shock, right? So I grab him and toss him on the ground. And, you know, the girls get their equipment boxes. We get his feet up, and we got him covered up with coats, and I'm rubbing his arms and, you know, rubbing his face trying to, you know, to get him to wake up. And it took almost a half an hour to get him to come back to reality with us.
Dang.
Right? And the other people all around, see, this is a key part. They all stood there. They didn't walk off to, you know, tell stories about what was going on. They were all right around in a circle, you know, around Brian. And I started asking him, I said, what the hell happened? And the one girl that I went with, she said, well, Gary was telling us, you know, for something to step forward, and he told me to kneel. And I told him I wasn't going to kneel. And this girl was a soldier, right? And he says, don't you defy me. And she goes, I'm going to rugby tackle you off this altar. and then right then she screams, stop. And I said, what happened? She goes, I saw something come out of his face that looked like a goat's head with no eyes.
Dude.
What?
Yeah, and I'm like, what? Right? So I asked the girl right behind her, so what happened to you? You were down on your knees. She goes, well, I had just started to go down on my knees because that's what the guy was asking us to do. She says, and I saw this goat's head go flying, you know, past her face. She says, and I just hit the deck. And I didn't get a chance to talk to her husband who was behind her, but I asked the other Gary, there's two Garys. He was laying on his side, and he goes, well, I saw a ram's head or something like that with no eyes coming flying right at me, and I hit the deck, he says, and I turned around and looked, and I saw Brian look like he's on roller skates going backwards and splat, flat on his back.
Damn.
Wow.
So none of these people had a chance to make up a story. Now, you know, debunking-wise, could they all have made it up before anything ever happened? Sure. But I know a couple of the people there, three of the people, actually, and I don't think that's what happened. The one guy that was leading the thing kind of, he does things that I don't, you know, ghost hunting wise that I don't agree with. So that kind of throws me off of him leading the thing. You get what I'm saying without saying it. But they all said the same thing, but I finally get, earlier in the night, this one girl, Mandy, who is a medium, and the Army girl, we start to walk out, and they had told us a story that once you're in there, the spirits don't want to let you leave the property. And the girl's walking ahead of me, and her chain on her neck gets yanked and gives her a big friction burn on the back. And it was actually a crucifix from the Vatican, right? Yep. Right at the gate when she's trying to go out. And she stops. She goes, wow, look at this. And we stand there looking, and she says, let's get out of here. And she stops. She goes, something's keeping me from going through the gate. So I said, well, you're just going to have to go, right? So she stands there for a minute, and she scoots through the gate. Now, the Army girl starts to go, and she stops. She goes, there's something here that doesn't want me to go through the gate. So she musters up some strength, and she goes through. Well, I walk right through. I don't feel a damn thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that really interests me about this whole story, the guy that's out, me and Peter, one of the bouncer guy, we get him under the arms, and we're trying to get him off because he's still shaking, to get him some hot coffee or soup or something, you know. So we grab him, and we're kind of sliding him along. It's probably 300 yards to the fence. So we finally get about 10 yards from the fence, and now he's got his head down. He hasn't been looking at anything, right? He doesn't know the fence is coming up. And we get about 10 yards from the fence, and his head snaps up, and his legs go straight, and he starts fighting, trying to get loose and get away from the fence.
That's mad.
Right? Yeah, so, you know, he's fighting me and Peter, which was really a losing battle, because there's like 600 pounds of us between the two of them. And Brian's like the size of a, you know, a book. So finally I just said, Peter, and we just lifted him off the ground and ran him through the fence and threw him into the car. So we get him into the car, and, you know, they're feeding him hot chocolate and, you know, everything else to get him to warm up. And finally, about half an hour later, he comes out and he goes, I feel better. Let's go back down there. And I looked at him. I said, if you think you're going back down there, I'm going to knock your ass out and stick you in the trunk. Right?
Yeah.
So we all decide we've had enough, and we all leave. And then just to show you what kind of night this was. It's like 3:30 in the morning. We're on the highway. There's nobody on the highway. And I'm over where the driver's side is because I'm a passenger, you know, because it's England. Seats are backwards. And I hear Carol Ann in the back yell, "What the bloody hell?" And all of a sudden, this guy slides the car. We're going like 70 miles an hour, slides it. It's sliding to the left. No traffic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, first thing I think is he fell asleep, right? So I go to grab the wheel, and I hear him saying, prayers and light, prayers and light, prayers and light. Not today, not today. Right? And then he straightens the car out, and he's in a different lane. I said, what the hell is going on? Right? And they both start chattering. There was a guy, a young guy, probably around 20, that was on the outside of this bridge that was about 30 feet high in front of us. And he was on the outside, and as we were coming down, he was in the same, standing above our lane. And when he saw us, he squatted down and leaned out to dive onto the car to kill himself.
Oh, God.
And because he saw him at the last second and swerved into a different lane, the guy didn't jump.
But
we called the police and stuff. And the other people, Mandy and that and stuff, came like 10 minutes after us. And she called and said they had him in handcuffs and were dragging him away.
Wow.
But that's, when you get people getting knocked out and knocked down, and they all say the same thing, a ram's head or a goat's head with no eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's time to leave.
It definitely. It's time to get some holy water and sage.
That's when you're dealing with Baphomet, and you got to go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I even told him. I said, if you ever come back here again, I said, you know what you just did? And he goes, what? I said, you just knocked on the devil's door, and he answered.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I said, you know, if you got a lick of sense, you'll never come back here again.
Exactly. Yeah, that reminds me of a place in Ohio, but I'll get back and talk about that real quick. We got to go to a hard break right now. Guys, don't forget, if you got compensation you deserve from an accident or a crime, Del Campo and Grayson's at the guys to talk to. It's the I'm a Reach Show. We're with Rick McCollum and Christina's here. We'll be right back.
Porque las mejores rolas de la historia se siguen componiendo. Escucha hoy y siempre Rock Radio and more.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket. A tent. A sandbag. A doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
We were talking, by the way, guys, this is the I'm a Reach Show on rockradioandmore.com. We were talking off the air about some of our weird investigations. But before we go right back into the stories, I want to remind everyone that if you go on our Facebook page on the I'm a Reach Show, also on Christina and I's personal pages, we have a link to give to St. Jude's Hospital for the holidays. It's a reputable link from Facebook, thanks to Facebook. And, we usually do Toys for Tots, but this year Christina and I had like one of the weirdest holiday seasons ever, and it's still going weird.
Yeah, since I just came back from
You just came back from the emergency room. And so, guys, we still want to give, and you can give. Right now, we've got $50. So we're close to our $200 goal. $150 more, guys, and you can do it. and if we reach our goal, we'll put a video of Christina and I with our weird Christmas hats with the blinking lights, and we'll do something dumb, like we always do.
We'll have a espresso shot drinking contest.
Oh, I'll beat you. I'll drink you under the table.
I don't know. Yeah.
And we'll do it with Danny Trejo's espresso, man.
God. I might need to put some whipped cream on mine or something.
That's not espresso. You see that? You see what she's going to do, Rick?
No, it's really acidic if you just go straight
for it. She's changing the rules, right?
No.
Yes, she is. You don't put whipped cream on espresso. That's like putting ketchup on a hot dog.
No, it's called campana.
We'll bring Danny in to judge, okay?
Okay.
If not, we'll have Rick
Christina,
in here.
Christina, if you want to win, make him drink something healthy. Guys hate that.
Okay, I got it. Okay, we can do shots of matcha green tea.
Dude, I just tried matcha yesterday for the first time.
They also have red matcha.
Ooh. Matcha's weird.
Mm-hmm. Or we could
make them drink like spinach cocktails. I guarantee you'll win.
What is that?
You know, there's a problem. I like spinach.
No, what's that?
Then don't give them that one. They have carrots.
They have a shot of that. It's that green stuff that they squish up. It's almost like grass.
Lemongrass?
I don't know.
Or are you talking about spirulina?
They have it at like a bunch of the smoothie places.
Kale.
Is it? No.
Yeah.
It looks like grass. It literally looks like grass.
Oh, no. The one that looks like grass is lemongrass.
Is that it? Shots of lemon? We can do that.
Yeah, wheatgrass and all that. Yeah.
Wheatgrass. Maybe it is the wheat. Maybe it's the wheatgrass. Yeah, we can do that, and you will lose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you drink the healthy stuff.
I try.
And you put all of that in an espresso. What was that espresso I got at Cool Beans where they had like five shots in a cup?
Oh, that was a drink with five shots of espresso.
No. Remember, he made me the one. It came in a little cup, and it was just five straight shots of espresso.
Yeah.
And he asked me, do you want water in that?
So, Will, what was the matter? Was your heroin dealer out of town?
It must have been.
No,
five straight shots of espresso?
Check this out. This is literally how I got into drinking so much coffee. I had a problem drinking. I was a straight up alky. And of course, I was one of those straight up alkies that like to also do a little bit of nose candy and stuff like that. So I went to clean myself up. I literally did legitimately 100% rehab, the whole thing. And when they're there, you learn to drink coffee. I guess that's something. Well, apparently, I traded in all of my vices to coffee.
I don't think that's a bad thing.
And then someone introduced me to espresso, and that just ended everything. I mean,
that'll wake you up for sure. That's what I use on movie sets when I have to drive home like at 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
But I carry chocolate-covered espresso beans with me.
Oh, I love those things. I love those things. They're amazing.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But we went to this place. Christina and I were in Savannah early this year.
Yeah.
And we found this like coffee shop out of nowhere. And they had this little, you know, like when you go to those bars and they bring you the little samplers of like eight beers.
Well, it was like, it was like samplers of three espressos.
Yeah. And she's just sitting there looking at it. And I wouldn't let her have none because she wouldn't let me have a praline. And I'm diabetic, so she keeps me away from sugar. And I drank these things like bam, bam, bam. And she looked at me, and then the barista looked at me like, what the?
It's like, did you taste it?
To me, it wasn't even enough. I was sleepy.
Yeah, he inhaled them, so he didn't even try. I mean,
that's me and my coffee addiction. Now, you said you had another good ghost story.
Well, I do. I have actually one with a spirit box.
Ooh. Fun.
Which is kind of interesting. I was guest of the San Diego Ghost Hunters down at a place called William Heath Davis House. And it's a museum. You know, it's got the big, heavy wrought iron gates, 8-foot gates outside. It's an old-time museum. It's actually the oldest house in San Diego. So I go down there, and I'm with this one girl that I was more interested in hunting her than hunting ghosts at the time.
I understand.
And we were upstairs, and the girls were downstairs. The San Diego girls were downstairs with a spirit box. So we start to walk downstairs, and she goes, "Oh, they're doing a spirit box session. Let's let them do that." So she sits down on the stairs, and I'm walking down a little bit farther, and I go to sit down. It's a good thing my big butt was heading towards the ground because something shoved me from behind. I almost went headfirst down the stairs. She screams. They all come running out. So, you know, that kind of ended their spirit box session. But we go down there, and we're sitting there, and the spirit box starts just chattering away, and it says, danger, men, outside, beware, wasted, police.
Oh, shit.
And we're like, well, that's pretty kind of ominous. So the girl looks out the window, and there's three guys trying to pry open the front gate.
Oh,
so damn. She goes out, and she tells them, and they're as drunk as can be. saying, you're not allowed in here. You know, this is private property. And we're coming in anyway, and I'm standing off to the side. It's all girls standing down there. And we're coming in. So finally I walked down there. I said, you're not coming in. They said, who's going to stop us? And I said, I'm going to stop you. Matter of fact, I might just open up the gate and come out and talk to you in a second. You know, they're like, oh, wait a minute now. This might be a little different than what we were anticipating. So anyway, finally, I was thinking, you know, they were being real belligerent, right? And because they were on the other side of the fence.
Yeah.
Right? And I thought back to what the thing had said, and it said police. So I looked at them and I said, all right, you want to act like a bunch of asses? I'm, you know, you're drunk. I'm just going to call the police, have them come, you know, drag you off. Then they, you know, told me I should try having sex with myself and things like that. and you know, flipped me off and away they went. But the weird fact that it said, danger, men, outside, beware, you know, wasted police. And you look out the door, and at the exact same time, there's three drunk guys who are belligerent trying to break into the place.
Yeah. That is so sweet.
I mean, hey, I've never heard of a spirit box being more 100% on the money.
There's a place that we investigate here in Georgia called the Win Russell House, and it's Shannon Bradley Byers, the person I was telling you about at Scarefest. That's her place where she does like big time investigations and stuff. And the very first time she invited me there to investigate with her and her husband, I got pushed down the stairs. And they did an EVP session, and they're like, did you push Will? And they're like, yes. That's what it was a spirit box session. It said, yes. And they're like, why? And they're like, he was being rude. And the funny thing about it was, is when I was about to go down the stairs, I was joking at Shannon about her pants being too tight.
Because she that'll teach you to pick on Shannon.
And she, it was because she was trying to bend up to pick something up, and she couldn't do it. So I picked it up for her. I was like, what, your pants too tight? You're going to bust through? And boom, I got pushed down the stairs. But here's the other thing. I went back a year later and Christina's with me. And we went upstairs to do an EVP session on our own while Shannon's giving the people a tour. And we go back down to the room, and she does the spirit box session to teach the people how to do it. But she also told the story of what happened last year. And she goes, so did you push Will down the stairs? Why did you push Will down the stairs? And it said, oh, because he was being a jerk. You know, they said jerk. And it's like, you're going to push him this year? No, he's nice.
Yeah.
Way to go, Will.
And I guess it was
way to clean up your act.
You know, I told him, I was like, thank you for not embarrassing me, because I was like coming down the stairs with Christina.
Well, you know what's funny about that? The time when I got pushed, downtown San Diego at night can be a little sketchy.
Yeah.
So I walked Brandy back to her car, you know, because I didn't want to see anything happen to her unless I did it. Anyway, I walk her back to her car, and my phone rings as we're walking. And Maritza, the girl's name is, she goes, you have to hear this. And I said, okay. And she plays the replays the tape, and she goes, who pushed Rick on the stairs? And it goes, spirits. She goes, spirits? She goes, spirits? How many spirits pushed Rick? And it goes, five.
Wow.
Goes, why did five spirits push Rick? And it goes, he's big.
That's awesome.
Just one other thing I've ever heard.
Now, another little great EVP story. Many years ago, I used to investigate in a team here that was headed by Patrick Burns. And we used to go to local cemeteries to teach new investigators. And we had this one investigator, we had her put the DVRs out. She thought she was God's gift to rap music. So she's going down to, you know, certain areas we're telling, she's singing a rap song. And she comes back, and we do the investigation, and later on we go through the DVRs to listen to what it says. And we pick up a DVR, an EVP that when she puts it down, she's rapping some song, and you hear her voice go, shut the F up.
Ah. Wow.
You stink. Or something like that. That would be funny.
First EVP I've ever caught, it was like 10 years ago, 10 plus years ago. My first investigation, I was at the tannery over in Buford, and we're in the women's bathroom doing an EVP session on the floor. And, you know, this is first investigation and everything. I asked, did you die here? The place had burned down like 3 times and people had died, you know, in these fires. And I get this really southern class A EVP male saying, F you. But it was full on, obviously. And it was clear as day. And at that same time, when exact same moment when it caught that EVP, we had K2 spikes that were, and I, now, like, when I think back on it, I remember sort of hearing something, sort of audibly, during that same moment. And, I mean, that was, yeah.
Fuck you. That's pretty good. Was, have you guys ever heard of Old South Pittsburgh Hospital?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've been there a couple times.
We were one of the first groups in there. And you know, the telephone that rings at 1:30 at night?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the old-time phone? So we're walking around up there, and all of a sudden we hear the phone, right? We look all over the place. There's no phones, right?
Nope.
Everything we find, everything's been cut off. So we're walking around, and I say, you know, well, that was really cool hearing that. Thanks for letting me hear that. But, you know, can you do something a little more significant than just letting a phone ring, you know? Something that, you know, is hard to, you know, to debunk. And you know those big steel doors that have the bar you push to get in and out?
Yeah.
One of those in front of me, about 10 feet in front of me, goes, slam!
Oh,
I'm standing there. They filmed it. I just stood there and I went, well, okay. Pretty good.
I have some seriously creepy experiences at Old South. But the there's two that happened with investigating with Christina. One where she gets mad at me saying I ditched her because apparently there's been some people doing some really nefarious things down in the workroom in the boiler room area now. You know, there you go down there and you see pentagrams spray painted on the walls and on the floors and stuff. And someone brought in one of Steve Huff's equipment. And for some reason, this guy started naming off all the demonic names down there.
And
the investigator, or it was coming through the box?
Both, actually.
Okay.
Well, the investigator was repeating what was coming out of the box.
Yeah, the investigator was repeating what was coming out of the box. And, you know, I told him to politely stop, and he did, and all that stuff, but I got scratched in the back, so apparently whatever was let loose was let loose. And, but I didn't make an issue about it. I was like, you know, we get people out of here safely, we're good to go. And so Christina and I are leading, you know, and it was a big event. So Christina and I are leading a group down another area, like where the x-ray rooms and all that were.
Yeah, on the second floor.
On the second floor. And the guy who led the event comes up and asks me to come down back to the boiler room with him because we're going to have to do a cleansing and a clearing and all this stuff. And when I went down there, it was a completely different feeling. I mean, it was dark. It was heavy. It was so dark, I couldn't even see my hand in front of me. And it's usually not that dark down there. And other investigators were hearing noises and stuff there that just wasn't out of the ordinary. So we did a cleanse, you know, we did a clearing with different faiths and stuff. And I ended it with a Christian cleansing. And while we were doing it, we were hearing hoof steps walking around us in circles. All of us, plain as day. And that just creeped me the heck out.
Well, yeah.
Well, you know, have you ever been to Waverly?
Yeah.
If you ever get to go back to Waverly, go and sit in the lobby area, if they'll let you.
Mm-hmm.
All by yourself. And I guarantee you will hear what sounds like doctor shoes, you know, the leather shoes.
Yeah.
Walking directly up behind you and stopping behind the chair you're sitting in.
I've heard that.
Because we did that. Well, we were the first people to do it. Kane came up with the idea, and Tina let him do it. And he says, well, he'd sit in there for 15 minutes and don't tell anybody what happened. So we each took our turn, and we all came up with the kind of same kind of stuff. We heard the door, you know, behind us, you know, someone rattling and trying to get in. We'd hear the people walk right up behind us. But the one guy, he actually played in My Bloody Valentine. He was the miner in My Bloody Valentine.
Love that movie.
Yeah, he said he was sitting in the thing. He says, now this guy turns cars over and stuff going 70 miles an hour. He's a great stunt guy.
Oh, right? Dude.
And he says to me, I walk in, you know, and he was the last guy. I said, so how was it? And he looks at me and he goes, I've never been more afraid in my life.
Yeah.
Right, which kind of threw us off. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, well, I heard the footsteps. He says, you know, I heard the door rattling. He says, and then I heard the footsteps walk up behind me and stop. And I said, and he says, that's not what scared me. He says, you know, it got me a little nervous, but I'm sitting there. He says, and then I swear I heard what sounded like a sword coming out of a sheath.
Oh.
Wow.
And I said, you still sat there? And he said, he told me we had to. I don't know about this. I think I hear a sword. I'm dive rolling somewhere.
in Old South, the funny thing is later in the morning, we go, I didn't tell Christina exactly what happened down there yet. And she wants to go down and check it out. So she goes down there and she wants to take a picture. She goes there. She takes a picture. I follow her. Before I reach there, she's running back upstairs.
This is the next day.
And this is the next day with the sunlight and
nobody
everything.
Else is really in the hospital. Like, we're the last ones, basically.
And she said she felt so, it felt so dark and negative. And I felt it, too, but I just thought it was so funny. It's like, boom. She's just shooting right back up the stairs. And, but the other crazy thing, That for me was crazy that happened there was the bathroom.
Oh yeah, the bathroom.
And we were staying in there in the room, and our bathroom door jiggled.
And
we'd hear people in the other room.
Well, before that, I was actually by myself. I went and used the bathroom, and it's one of those
Jack and Jill,
where it has access to two rooms, and both the doors were closed. And I'm about to leave the bathroom, and I hear, like, women's voices in the other room. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, maybe there's some people, other people are going to stay there tonight. And later on, I found out, oh, there was nobody in that room. Absolutely no one.
Yep.
Well, that's funny ghost hunting. Just to be honest with you, you know.
Yeah. But here's the
I had a thing that happened years and years ago. In Texas, I went to visit my dad, and I got there, and I'd driven from Chicago all the way down to Texas. I was a little on the tired side, and my friend was with me, and they had to take one of my dad's salesmen back to the bar where they left his car, which I thought was a really good idea, drink a lot, and then go put him in a car. But anyway, I said, where can I sleep? And he said, go in here, and I look in there, and it looked like a lady's bedroom, you know, with the canopy.
Mm-hmm.
So I go in there and I lay down because I'm dead dog tired, and I hear what, you know, like a heavy sigh, like so I kind of look around. I'm like, okay, what was that, right?
Yeah.
And I lay there a little bit more, and there's moonlight coming in, so I'm looking there and I don't see anything, and I hear I said, all right, does he have a dog? Right? So I look under the bed, and I open up the closet door to see if there's a dog in there, because something's breathing, right?
Yeah.
So I lay back down, and I look up, and I see there's a vent on the up on the thing, like an air conditioning vent. And I thought, oh, that's maybe the air conditioner was just turning off. Then I went, no, Rick, the air conditioner doesn't turn off twice. Right. So I'm sitting there, and I hear it again. So still trying to debunk it. I looked down, and I had the covers up, you know, by my chin because it was cold. And I thought, well, maybe just my own breath bouncing off the thing. So I sit up, right? And I can see everything in there because of the moonlight. And if you can imagine, right behind my right ear on my neck, I felt this hot breath, and it went on my neck. I jumped up, and because the door had a slider lock, and I was trying to get out of there quickly, and I couldn't get grab hold of the slider lock, so I just turned the handle, and I broke the door frame, just ripped the door frame, busted it right out there. And I go outside, and I'm standing outside. My dad lived on a cul-de-sac. And about 5 minutes later, my dad and my friend come driving up, and my old man gets out, and he looks at me, and he goes, gotcha, didn't he? and I looked at him, and I went, what do you mean? He goes, and I said, you knew about that? He goes, does it all the time.
Wow.
So that's one of the places I really got into ghost hunting was because of that house.
Yeah, I got into it because of my grandma's house. But, you know, we're going to have to, the segment's almost done, but you wanted to plug the Ghost Hunters, Hollywood Ghost Hunters magazine?
Yeah, it's HGHmag.com. It's online. It's free. So if you don't like it, you don't get your money back. you know, it's got a lot of good people. I mean, like, first person we interviewed was Zach Bagans. The next person was Aaron Ryder from Destination Truth. And then Nick. You know, there's some really good stories in there, too. So a lot of pictures of places I've ghost hunted, like Roslyn Chapel and, you know, the real Mary King's Close and, you know, things over in Scotland and England and things like that. So
sweet. I mean, see, I'm jealous. I want to hit all those places. I've hit a lot of places, but I want to hit all those, too.
Well, you know what's really cool is that I've actually been lucky enough to ghost hunt most of those places by myself.
That is awesome.
Like, I got to ghost hunt with just one guy, Billy Hunley, the owner of the Birdcage in Tombstone.
Oh, dude.
The real Mary King's Close, the one that's the underground city in Scotland, you know, the underground area.
Yep.
Just me and the manager.
Hmm. See, I've gotten to get some places like that, but not a lot. But the best place I ever got to, like, wander around by myself a little bit was the USS Hornet up in San Francisco.
Never been there.
That's where I've seen the best full body apparition. And it was
really?
It was an officer up in one of the war rooms. And he's just leaning up against the wall dressed in his whites. And
you know what, that same guy is seen there quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was told. But I didn't know that when I saw him. When I saw him, I had very little information about the place. And I got some really cool EVPs there too, but because one side had a big event going, though, I have to question some of them. But it was still cool.
Yeah.
It was still cool.
I mean, it's really cool. I'll tell you one more quick one if you got time.
Yeah.
I think you'd like. I was on the Queen Mary with my mother. She, you know, she came to visit me and she wanted to stay overnight because it's also a hotel. A lot of people don't know that. So we're down there and we got, we wanted to have a view of the bay. So they put us way down in the front. I mean, hundreds of yards from the middle of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were checking in, there was a bunch of girls in, looked like prom dresses, right?
Yep.
So I figured maybe they had a prom upstairs in one of the rooms or something like that. So anyway, I go down there. My mother asked me to go to the bakery and get her a donut, right? So I'm standing in the doorway, you know, I'm serious, if I look down, there's 150 yards of hallway. And I'm not kidding, it's that long. This place is that big. So I look down there, and nobody coming. And I asked my mother, I'm still leaning in the doorway, and I said, hey, do you want a glass of milk? She goes, yeah. And then I hear behind me what sounds like, you know, maybe 8 or 10 people, you know, in party mode, you know, giggling and carrying on. Like just exactly what prom people would sound like, you'd think, you know?
Yeah.
And I turn around and I look, and the hallway is completely 100% empty.
Dude.
And I mean, I heard it as loud as, I mean, you know how loud like 10 people that'd be maybe 20 yards away from you would be that were in party mode?
Yeah.
In a cramped, you know, little place like that? Not a person. And I walked down real fast and listened into all the rooms, you know, the alcoves.
Mm-hmm.
Not a person down there. We're the only people at the front of that ship.
Dude.
So, and I mean, it wasn't like it was just like, oh, you know, maybe something happened. It's like, no, there's, you know.
No one there.
Nobody there. Well, somebody was there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't see him, but, and I was kind of PO'd, actually. They didn't invite me to the party, you know, just.
Well, buddy, thank you for calling in today and being on the show.
Hey, my pleasure, anytime.
And
it was a lot of fun.
And by the way, you know, when you do hit Hale's Bar, we'll see if we can be there and scare with you.
That'd be cool.
And
as long as you treat Christina nice, because I don't want any EVP saying you're a jerk.
No, yeah. No. My problem is I get possessed. Apparently.
Well, I like that. Good. That means I don't have to worry about it.
I'm leaving you next time.
I like taking a sacrifice with me. You know, that's always works out pretty good.
We'll be the ghost bait.
Yeah, and you get to see Christina's little trigger objects. She's got these balls that she hits, and they glow in the dark, and they sparkle and all this stuff. It's the craziest thing. But they
were. We had some of those at one time. We had, because we used to do an exhibit show, and somebody had given me a whole bunch of those. I gave them to the kids.
Yeah.
And after I gave them all away, I thought, those would have been pretty good.
Yeah. If you don't want to go down
the
hallway.
By the way, when you were in Old South Pittsburgh, did you see a blue orb?
I have seen a blue orb.
I mean, like it looks almost kind of like a glowing racquetball.
No, what I saw was bigger. It was more like a basketball, and it was floating in the air.
Well, we saw one. We were at the nurse's table downstairs, and there's one room back there where they say there's a grandma type that's one of the patients.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was her room. So I set my camera out on a box out there, so it could show in the room.
Yep.
And we're all standing there, me and the other group and my guys, and I look down. There's like 10 of us. And I see this, what I think is the screen of my camera, moving up and down like something's got hold of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I call everybody over, and we're all watching it, right? And Kane goes, nah, just mass suggestion, nobody's seen it. I said, all right, everybody holler out which way it's going, as soon as you see it. And they're all doing the same thing. It's up, down, sideways, left, and I mean, they're all doing exactly what we're seeing. So, I mean, it's not mass suggestion because everybody was answering what they were seeing at the same time.
Yeah.
So I go back down there, and no more light. So I open up my camera. I run it back, and the camera never moved.
Damn.
So the real weird part about it was we're walking back, and this guy goes, that couldn't have been your camera. And I said, why not? He goes, those big plastic dumpsters, the ones that I like do recycling in and stuff, but they're kind of big.
Mm-hmm.
There's one of those in the hallway. And he goes, from where we were standing and where that was, you wouldn't have been able to see your camera. That would have been in the way. That ball had to be on this side of that thing.
Damn. Mm-mm.
So we're standing there, and we turn around, and the other group had a camera on the ground, right?
Yeah.
And I look, and I see it go 90 degrees off to the side. I said, your camera just moved. They said, no, it's anchored down. They walked in. They said, hey, our camera's been moved. I said, dude, I just told you. I saw it. What the hell's going on?
I got it. Anyway. I got a video on my YouTube where we captured shadow people walking by the nurse's station. And this was like about, I want to say it's like 6 years ago now.
That is kind of interesting because I actually caught a shadow by the nurse's station myself that I have on tape.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually, if you were standing away from the nurse's station looking down the hallway.
Yeah.
With the nurse's station, the desk thing to your right,
mm-hmm.
You could see a pair of legs walk across the wall.
Damn. A friend of mine, I have to ask her for her picture. She has a picture she took with an IR camera, and it's just a pair of legs.
That's what this was.
Yeah.
All you could see was, and it was shadow. Wasn't a pair of legs, just shadows.
Now, this is a pair of legs, but there's nothing on top of it.
I left a naughty book for the nurses at the nurses' station a couple years back.
You see, and everyone calls me the dirty one.
No, it was how to seduce a vampire.
Oh, God.
Somebody felt the need to write a book about that?
Yeah. I know!
For sure.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Christina, if you do end up coming ghost hunting out there where I'm at, my trigger object is like 30, 35, blonde, lean, blue eyes. just saying.
Oh,
God.
It's like, I am the trigger object.
No one knows.
Her head's getting bigger.
Oh, my God.
I went up to a girl at a conference that I'd gotten to know. And it was at a casino in Minnesota. And I walked up to her. She was with a bunch of her friends. And I walked up and I said, you and me should fool around. I'm going to tell you why. And they all look over me. She goes, well, why? And I went, because I'm going to tell everybody you did anyway.
That's a good one.
Actually, yesterday was my birthday. And she sent me a birthday greeting. So evidently I wasn't that horrible of a person.
Well, there you go.
And I'm getting the silent treatment from everybody, so yeah, that says a lot about me now.
I'm talking to you. What are you saying here? Yeah, I don't count. Even with guys, oh boy. My life blows.
Well, buddy, thank you for calling in. We got to go into another hard break. But
well, tell Jeff and Vicky I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to chat with them, too.
I will, and I bet they're listening, but I'll definitely tell them. And as always, you know, you're always welcome to come on this show whenever you have something you want to promote or anything, or just want to talk ghost stories. And again, thanks.
I want to promote me because I really want something 30, 35, lean, blonde, blue eyes.
We'll work on that one.
I told somebody one time, I know you got to go, but I told somebody this, what kind of girl are you looking for? I said, I am looking for a totally monogamous, bisexual, gourmet cook, sports fan, millionaire who owns her own island. Is that too much to ask?
I know everything.
Maybe
I know,
the island and the millionaire.
Yeah, because I'm saying, I know the rest. It's the last two parts.
You know, is that too much to ask?
Right now, I think she's working with Sam Worthington somewhere.
Somebody asked me one time, they said, what is really your type of girl? I said, at my age and my looks, I said, you know, as long as I have a pulse, I'm in.
Same here. I'm the same way. Breathing? Good.
Yeah, I have a few demands. Breathing and a pulse.
Yep.
And after that, I'm done. All right, guys. Well, it was fun talking to y'all.
Same here, bud. And
right,
this will be on EVP too if you ever want to hear EVP. Excuse me, podcast.
I was like, what's going on? He's making an EVP.
Well, why don't you send me a link on Facebook?
I'll do that. When the podcast up, I'll send you a link and you can share it and listen to it and enjoy. And again,
well, I already know what I said, you know.
Yeah.
So it's,
but until.
You know, while I am amazingly amusing and humble.
And until Hale's Bar, or if you get on again before we meet up at Hale's Bar, have a happy holidays, buddy.
Hey, same to you guys. And it was nice meeting you.
Same here.
Me too.
Guys, right, this is the I'm Reed Show. We'll be right back with an EVP after this.
Esta fue una producción para Rock Radio and More, con derechos reservados 2016. Transmitiendo desde Atlanta, Georgia, esto es Rock Radio and More.